Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons. She's Andrea Lamont, and we are here to talk fantasy baseball. What's happening?
What's happening? Well, okay. My Tout Wars team is crushing Jeff Manns.
No surprise to me.
8-2. So I'm trying not to jinx myself here.
But how does that Tout Wars work? Are they 2 week head to head matchups?
This one is a 2 week because normally they're 1 week, but the first week of the season and the one right before or after the All-Star break, and then like the last one of the season, they're longer. Just to make it so that we play each person twice.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. So you have a 2 week matchup with Jeff Manns, who jumped ship at Fantasy Alarm, and he's now at Fantasy Guru Elite.
You can really tell this guy is, and this is not a knock on Jeff Manns because he's super good at DFS, you know, but this is where you can really see the line drawn in the sand between year-long players and DFS players, where you could just tell that his draft was, well, he had Ray Flower sitting next to him the whole time helping him out because I don't think that he was prepared in any way. So I shouldn't be saying this stuff. Hopefully Jeff Manns doesn't listen, but I love you, Jeff Manns. Noting the facts here.
Yeah, the facts are, and you know what? You make a very good point, because people write to me about, why don't you talk more DFS on the show with Andrea? Well, we can, and we will, but I'm not even doing anything. I put a lineup in for the afternoon slate today just to see what would happen, but I'm not done with basketball yet, really.
I was going to ask you about that because I've been playing DFS for the last few days, and I've noticed, and I don't know if they do this in basketball or what, but on DraftKings, they challenged me to a couple contests, which I won a couple, but I'm frustrated because either the guys that are in the lineups aren't playing, or DraftKings isn't putting any stats for guys that don't get any points. Like Bryce Harper yesterday had a big fat zero, and it would have helped just to see that he had some at-bats, because when you look at it, it shows you what the other guys did when they get points. But Bryce Harper didn't have any – it looked like he didn't play, like he didn't show up that day or something.
Well, FanDuel's like that too.
Every single day I get like three or four players that have 0 points, and I don't recall that happening last year. So that's kind of frustrating to me.
Okay, that's fair enough. I don't know because I haven't played until today. But, yeah, that happens. You know, I guess you need to build better lineups. That's what they used to say.
I build my lineups based on the MLB lineups. And when you put Bryce Harper in, dude, and you get 0 points from him, and it doesn't show that he even had an at-bat, that's frustrating.
So that okay.
I have to look to make sure that everybody played that day, because it does seem like MLB is resting players. Like, it's amazing that some of these guys are getting rest days already.
Well, they're not. They just don't get any points, so they don't – the statistics don't accrue for that. That's why. It's all part of – it's their statistics provider. That's what it is. I learned that last year when I was trying to help those guys build that site. They will show up zeros. If they don't play, they show up a zero. They don't show any stats because they didn't do anything to count.
Well, what if they did play but they didn't get any points?
That's the way it is. You get zero because there's nothing to record.
Bullshit, there's nothing to record. There's stuff to record, like he went up and struck out 3 times out of 3 times up.
Now I understand that part, but here's the thing, is that because they don't count toward your score or against your score, they don't show up. They only count the counting stats, the scoring categories, either positive or negative. Wow. Anything else they don't do. Like, they don't tell you how many innings he played or how many at-bats he had. They just talk about the things that make points or decrease points. That's all they do.
Yeah, I mean, so yesterday I had big fat zeros from which looks like they didn't play. Javier Baez, Andrew McCutcheon, Bryce Harper,
well,
Kevin
technically
Kiermaier,
they
Marcelo
technically
Zuna.
They didn't play because they got zeros. Well, you know, because you follow these people, so you know. But we will talk about DFS more in the next couple weeks, but I'm still doing basketball. You play at DraftKings, though, right? You don't play at FanDuel?
I used to play at FanDuel, but I've been getting these challenges from DraftKings, so I moved over there. And maybe that's why I never noticed this before, because I didn't notice it on FanDuel. And I know I would have noticed that, you know, if you get zero... If you get 0 points, it just looks like your player didn't play at all. And the fact that they – either way, we already went through this, so let's move on. But we will be doing some DFS as soon as my boy Phil here is done with basketball, which is still going on, right, Phil?
Yeah, just 3 more days, and then I'll start doing baseball. I'll start touting them over at Max Sports, probably over at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports, too, like I did with the football maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens. But I've been kind of caught up. I keep track of some things. I look at the Daily Chatter column at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports.
You should.
And I keep track of things. You know, I wish more people who claim to be analysts would look at that. And you know that they're not, at least they're not dialing it in.
So Lenny goes around at 4 a.m. and clips out all of the best stuff out of the newspapers. He reads all the local newspapers, and then he sends it to me, cut and pasted, and then I create chatter out of that. But it takes quite a while. Yesterday it took me till 3 p.m. to get it done, so something's got to give there.
Well, you know what, though? It's okay, because you get to prepare it. It's probably helpful to you also, because he's picking out the great stuff, and then you have to go out there and make the story up. So you have to find – you have to – he gives you the tip and you flush it out. So you're actually gaining a lot from it.
It really works out well, too, because the worst part for me is going and finding all the good shit. And for Lenny, the worst part is actually doing the editing and stuff like that. So when he sends me the good stuff, it's like a clue, you know, it's like throwing me some bait there. And then I go and make a story out of it. But it is definitely good for me. I think I'm excellent. Very smart.
Well, I would think so. You're beating the crap out of Jeff Manns, and that's good. You know what? And I would encourage you listeners to go to Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports. Every day it's up in the afternoon, I think, the Daily Chatter column, and it'll catch you up on everything. There's lots of stuff over there, and it'll be fun to be there. And it's all free, by the way.
Yes,
so
no
head on
ads.
Over there.
No ads.
Not like my site, which has them, but that's another for another day. You know what? It's 1 week into the season, and I only play in that one league. I've explained it 1,000 times. Why I only have time for one league, but it never ceases to amaze me how quickly people give these players the hook. You know, the guy starts out, like, for example, Tommy Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Joseph last week was owned in 49.9% of ESPN leagues. Now, Tommy Joseph had an 0-8 start to his season. And now he is 35.7% owned at ESPN. That is a 7-day plus minus of minus 14.2%. That's a lot of people dropped him. What do you think happened? Why would somebody drop a Tommy Joseph who's going to be their guy every day, more than likely?
Well, because they panic, and that's really that's really it. I mean, Tommy Joseph, I have to admit, I own him in a couple leagues, and I loved him because he was a great bargain in drafts, but I have to say that I've kind of looked into this too, that you get a little concerned with guys like Tommy Joseph that, you know, aren't big names, and they go – he actually sat out, so he wasn't in the lineup the other day, and so then he returned to the lineup. But they gave him a breather, and it's like, this is exactly what I'm referring to at the beginning of the show. Like, what – why do you need a breather? I guess he just needed a mental breather, you know? So hopefully – I mean, he comes around. But I'm not dropping anybody in the first week of the season. I'm just not. And I'm going to keep an eye on Tommy Joseph, and if he continues to go 0-8, 0-10 – he's batting 100 right now, and it's horrible. But you got to give the guy a chance. Maybe he's just not warmed up yet, you know. And he's not – his batting average is never going to be phenomenal, you know, to begin with. He – last year he came up to the majors. He had 347 plate appearances, but that was his first 347 plate appearances in the major league ever. So let's give him a break and just hope that it's just growing pains, okay? Don't freak out. I mean, it's what you got to.
Don't panic.
What are you going to lose by keeping the guy on your roster? Do you have an empty spot you can stash him and throw someone else in that is hitting well, like Mark Reynolds, right? He's like one of the biggest pickups of the week. Now, if you can throw Mark Reynolds in there and stash Tommy Joseph, that would be in your best interest, because Mark Reynolds is going to eventually either lose his job or run out of steam, or he's really not an everyday player for a full season. So it's a great fill-in for Tommy Joseph until he gets his stuff together. But you're talking about a guy that's going to hit you 25 home runs. Now, I think that's worth holding on to. Depends on where you are in your league, what you think that your home run situation is. But as far as I'm concerned, if you can get Mark Reynolds or any other suitable playable first baseman and throw this guy on your bench for a little bit, that would be your best interest to me.
Well, that's very good advice. Don't panic. That's even better advice. You know what? If you can hold off and stream Mark Reynolds beginning Thursday, because they'll be in Colorado on Thursday. They have the Giants on Thursday, the 13th through the 16th, a 4-game stint. Then they have a two-game home stand against the Dodgers. So if you can ride that storm out for about six or seven days, three or four days, you're going to be able to pick this kid up on Thursday because Mark Reynolds will still be there. And you can benefit from six home games in a row. And then he goes on the road again for 7 nights. So, you know, you got to be smart with these Colorado players. That's something that you have to consult is the schedule. You know, I did drop somebody this week.
Who?
I shouldn't say this is a big surprise because I dropped Sean Kelly. Sean Kelly's not the closer in Washington. And so I took a chance with him because I don't care about relievers. I can pick them up off the waiver wire. And as luck would have it, I found somebody this week. His name is Brandon Kinsler. I'm sure folks out there have heard of him.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they have. And I thought you were going to say that you dropped Sam Dyson.
No, I didn't drop Sam Dyson, but a lot of other people did. I have him right here, as a matter of fact, on my list.
Yeah.
You know, he had two losses this past week, one blown save, but the manager, Bannister, Jeff Bannister, he says he's still the closer, and he's not going to panic. And I like what he said about that because, quite frankly, that's what we say. Don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sam Dyson is going to be his guy. He's already said it. Usually they don't go on the newspapers and say things unless they mean it. They don't, like, send up false flags, especially the first week of the season.
They don't, but let me tell you that his leash is very short. And with Sam Dyson, it's like the other day, I mean, this is in baseball chatter, too. There's a piece in there about Sam Dyson and the fact that they're going to give him, you know, they're not going to panic. Basically, what we're talking about here is that they're not going to panic. They're going to give him a minute to get his stuff together. But it's not going to be a long, long leash on this guy because they do have Jeremy Jeffries in there. They have, you know, they have other players that they could put, other pitchers that they could put in. Matt Bush could do it. And just Sam Dyson is so, I would rather have Sean Kelly. And I'll tell you why. Here's another guy that his leash is not going to be long, which is Blake Treinen. And
right.
if he doesn't go in there and get it done, don't think for a second that Sean Kelly is not going to be the guy. Because, I mean, you got a manager over here in Dusty Baker that loves veterans. He does not like to put in a rookie's hands a job like the closer role. So with Coda Glover and with Blake Treinen, they're both rather new. And Sean Kelly at least has major league experience, you know? So, I mean, quite a few years, like 7 years or 6 years. So I don't know. I would have dropped Sam Dyson over Sean Kelly, to be honest with you. But that depends on, you know, Ron Chandler says, and I read him faithfully.
Right.
You got to go for saves. When you're drafting a closer, you shouldn't, you know, draft Andrew Miller. You shouldn't be drafting Dellin Betances. If you don't count holds in your leagues, these two guys, they might have good numbers, but they're not going to get you categories, and they don't pitch enough to affect your ERA and your WHIP as much as you would like it to.
That's a very good point, too. My thought pattern was this, and everything that you say about Sean Kelly, I agree with. My thought pattern was this. I believe that Kinsler is a better closer and has better opportunities to save more games, and I decided to go with him this week. Next week, I'll come up with a different one. Because I don't care about these guys.
So basically what you're saying is you've already hopped on to the closer carousel and you are running, rolling around, twirling around.
I hopped on the closer carousel about 7 years ago and I've never gotten up.
I can't believe you found Brandon Kinsler on the waiver wire.
It's a 10-team league, so there's going to be people there.
So for that, okay, the only way that he loses his job is if he doesn't strike out a lot of batters. But there's not a lot of there aren't very many backup closers over there in Minnesota. So,
well, here, I'll give you the list. They got Ryan Pressly, who's probably not the guy, and Taylor Rogers. I would think that Brandon Kinsler has the safest job. We're one of the safest jobs in the American League in the closer role.
I could probably agree with you on that. I definitely think that his the thing is, like, there's a chart on RotoWire that it's just closer. So if you're a member of RotoWire, you can see the security, job security. And with Brandon Kinsler, it says that his job security is low. But who in the world is going to replace him? Glenn Perkins is injured right now. And then you have Ryan Pressly, who he's basically a known – I mean, to be honest with you, I know nothing about him. So that shows how much he's – you know, he's just not in the, he's just, I could look him up, but I don't think he's going to be taking the
job. Well, what's
away.
The point? He's not going to take anybody's job, but
no, definitely.
That's why I took him. See, that's called strategy for the week.
I don't even know how you play in a 10-team league, but that's good.
Those are my friends, and they invited me to play, and I like to play, and it's good.
Well, you need to find two more friends over at LennyMelnickFantasySports.com and go bring them over to your 10-team league and make it a 12-team league.
Plus, it's a CBS league. Yeah, you're right, but I don't like CBS leagues either. But, again, these guys are my buddies, mm-hmm. so I'm going to play in their league. And, plus, it's easier for me to do that league because there's a lot less headaches and stress because I already have enough things on my plate for the summer. And pushing that and having a league like that, too big a league, is too much work.
So good job on Brandon Kinsler. I mean, he already has three saves, so you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do, which
but
is...
But I didn't get the saves, though. See, I got him today, and kids are walking by the studio waving to me.
Say
they
hi.
Must not. I did, of course. I the thing is I'm sure they're not Oklahoma City Thunder fans, because they'd be giving me the bird.
Are they really?
No, these people are Cleveland Cavs fans. I would think they have this big thing at the. They're having tours in the studio area here, and they're not coming inside though, obviously. But they're doing their thing, and it's really nice to see these kids do their stuff. But let's go to another player, first baseman Greg Bird. Now, Greg Bird hurt his ankle; he hasn't played in the last two games. He was 75% owned at the beginning of the week. Now he's 59% owned. He's batting about .063. The thing is that he hurt his ankle, and he's been dropped. He got dropped more than Tommy Joseph did. Maybe they listened to our show last week, Andy. I don't know. But, again, here's another guy. He's got a big bat, short porch. And what are you doing? Already dropping the guy.
If you drafted Greg Bird, which I would never have done.
Well, a lot of people did.
A lot of people did, and Lenny and I had this exact argument about Chris Carter and how much is Chris Carter going to get to play. Well, my whole opinion of that is that they spent money on him. It's not like they got him as some extra player in a trade. They spent money on him. So
they sure did. How much what was his average auction price, I wonder?
Chris Carter or Greg Bird?
No, Greg Bird. We're not talking about Chris Carter yet.
Oh, well, I can check it out.
Well, that's okay. Either way, it was probably too much.
It was too much, definitely, because he's a – well, especially here in New York, because you got these Yankee lovers that, I mean, every year they're going to draft Yankees whether they play or not. And Greg
Bird – he's the second coming of Babe Ruth, so I heard.
The guy has good potential. He's got decent power. You're right about the stadium. It's a short porch. And what he's out for is first he was out with the flu, and then now he's got some right ankle bruise. But the bottom line is they're expecting him back on Wednesday. So I would think that people, before they drop a player, would actually note in the player notes that are free everywhere that, you know, he is coming back, and they're just going to give him an extra day or two off so that he can rest his ankle to avoid any long-term injury there. So you can't drop Greg Bird if you decided that you were going to draft the guy. You had to know that you were going to be getting a little bit of this. You didn't think he was going to play every single day for 162 games, and to drop him now is just panic mode. It's panic. We got to come up with a name for these panickers.
Panickers?
People that panic.
yeah, panic. It's all panic. It's always panic with these people.
He's batting.
They settle for second best all the time. And you know, the thing is here's what you can do. If you play in a league with panickers, you can take those people that they panicked on and pick them up in a couple weeks at hardly any cost to you whatsoever and probably beat them with their own drops.
I mean, shoot, if you're in a league with a bunch of panickers, I guarantee they're panicking on Detroit Tigers right now.
And that's another silly thing, by the way. They're panicking. It's so soon and early to panic. You know, part of the fun of being a fantasy baseball GM is you think that you're better than the real ones. They don't panic very often. Why are you?
Well, it's not a great thing to look in there and see your team not hitting. I mean,
but big time GMs see that too, but they're smart enough to realize that this too shall pass. Small sample sizes do not a successful general manager make.
Especially when you're talking about a whole team here, like the Tigers, for instance. I mean, they just weren't hitting at all. So you have to know that you have to assume that that is going to pass, and that as a team, they're just, they don't have it together right now, but they'll bounce out of that. You know, the Detroit Tigers and their poor bullpen. I think that bullpen has held them out of the World Series for maybe 5 or 6 years out of the last 7, because they always seem to have a decent team, but they can't get it together when the bullpen needs to come into play. And I went, when I was doing chatter, I was searching online for a Detroit Tiger bullpen meme or a cartoon for the bullpen, and there was no shortage. I mean, there was page after page of cartoons and memes about how bad the Detroit Tiger bullpen is. And that was when I actually realized how bad it was, you know, that the Tigers fans, they're not pleased about it.
I have Francisco Rodriguez on my team.
He's
having his issues, but I'm not ready to dump him yet.
Right.
Because I don't panic. Instead, I got rid of that knucklehead from Washington, and I got me a real closer. So now I don't care even about Francisco Rodriguez. I'll let him sit in there and let him turn it around. Here's what I do with closers. When they lose their job, that's when I lose them. Until then, I stick with the guy, or I stream them. In this case, we'll see what happens. We'll see what Kinsler does this week. What I'm waiting to see.
It's never a bad idea to, when you see a closer struggling early in the season, or you just see a closer struggling in general, to look at his backup and maybe go grab him. I mean, part of the strategy of this game is to get the players before the everybody else in your league wants to pick them up, you know, so you can pay little, put them on your bench, and just be prepared. You know, I have several teams where I have the closer and the backup because, you know, if you have any doubts about your closer keeping his job, then get the backup. Go pick him up. You probably have an extra bench spot since you dropped Tommy Joseph and Greg Bird.
Yeah, I'm sure you got lots of room. But Greg Bird, I wouldn't have drafted him because I don't want to have to go through that slump that he's going to have, because rookies are rookies are rookies. And I just don't want to deal with him. But you 75% out there in ESPN, 75.5% who did, and 16% of you dropped him already, I hope he comes back and beats you and teaches you a lesson and flips you the bird and your team the bird for being a panicker.
Yeah.
Really? How can you do this? Okay, let's see. There's another one. Oh, yeah. You know who got dropped a lot this week? Zach Davies.
Okay.
Now, Zach Davies got off to a rough start. He's 0-2 at home. His ERA is like 10.61, which is not ideal, or less than ideal. But then again, when you look at who he pitched against the Cubs, and he pitched against the Rockies, and they rocked him. Do you get rid of him this quick?
See, that's a tough one. He started out so bad that one would have to maybe think that he's got some kind of injury that he's catering to, because seriously, it's bad. It's a 10.61 ERA, a 2.36 WHIP. So this guy is walking to people. He's only pitched 9 innings. He's walked 6.
Yeah, that's rough.
He struck out 7, so basically his K to walk rate is 7-6. So that's horrible.
Yeah, that's not good. Less than ideal.
The thing about the starting pitching pool is that there's pitchers out there that you can pick up to replace him, and I wouldn't hesitate to do it. I mean, the guy doesn't have – he's got one full season, not even full, but 163 innings he pitched last year. He still had a 3.97 ERA. So this isn't a guy that is going to give you such high stats that you're willing to wait for him, you know, and put him on your bench. Now, he's not going to go on the injured list right now, so you can't use an injury spot for him. You'd have to use just a straight-up bench spot for him. And like I said, there's a lot of pitchers out there that are worthy of a pickup. For instance, Clayton Richard, he could be picked up.
You know who's out there too? Brandon Finnegan.
He'll picked up.
He'll probably have 2 starts this week too. Kendall Graveman. He started out 2-0. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm waiting for the bubble to burst.
Well,
Michael Wacha is available.
I mean, what's the ceiling on these guys? You know, I mean, Zach Davies, I don't think his ceiling is that high. I don't think you spend a lot of money on him, and I don't think it's really, you don't have any kind of emotional attachment to Zach Davies. So,
unless you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, you might.
Okay, but then, you know, Milwaukee Brewers fans know better than to get some emotional attachment to their pitching right now.
Or anybody on their team, because they usually aren't very good.
I mean, yeah. So.
I would have cried. If I was a Brewers fan, I would have cried that Chris Carter left.
Why? Because no more power?
Well, yeah. Well, you got Ryan Braun, but, well, Braun in a bottle.
I think that Graveman's ceiling is higher than...
Maybe.
Especially
if he pitches at home, you know. If he pitches at home in that big ballpark, he usually does pretty well there, too. He did a number on Texas, though. He pitched seven innings and only gave up, what, two or three hits? Five strikeouts? He got the Angels. The Angels aren't so good. But the Rangers are an awfully good hitting team, and he got those guys out in Texas, too. So that's something to be keep your eyes on. Keep your eyes on pitchers who do well on the road.
I got to look him up real quick because I think he might be the pitcher that threw like 97% sliders.
That could be. So you know what that means. Tommy John headed their way.
I don't know about that, but...
I heard this on somewhere this past week that it's the slider that's causing all these issues with their arms.
Oh, really? That's interesting in itself. I'll have to look up that. But so, yeah, he threw... In his outing, anyway, this year so far, he's thrown 91% sinkers. It's not the slider, it's the sinker.
No, Kendall Graveman's a sinker ball pitcher.
A sinker, yeah.
A stinker pitcher. I never liked those guys.
I love it. I think it was, if you watched him.
Did you try to hit it?
If you watched him pitch, you would love it too. It was looking, he was all over the strike zone. I mean, just everywhere. And he was getting people to swing. I was very impressed by it. I think that it's... I mean, if I had a choice between Graveman and Davies, there would be no question that I would drop Davies. I would never even hesitate to drop Davies after what he's done. Even though I know it's panic time, his ceiling is not high enough to wait for him.
No, it isn't. And you know what? There are others on the waiver wire who have trusted ceilings. You know who's pitching pretty good is Charlie Morton. He doesn't look too bad. I would pick him up over Zach Davies.
Absolutely.
Dylan Bundy, I think he's available in, 54.6% of ESPN leagues. You could probably get him. You know, Enderson Volquez is available. He might give you some agita during the season, but he's probably more reliable than a Zach Davies. Alex Cobb, we'll see what he does against the Yankees today.
CC Sabathia is even probably available.
Oh, he is. 18% owned. He can stay there, too.
Well,
Jordan Zimmermann's available. See, these are guys with pretty high ceilings still. So, I mean, there are guys out there. You're taking long shots. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to win the Kentucky Derby with a 1,001 long shot. And that stuff don't work. And I don't care what you hope for or which expert you listen to who is gazing in his crystal ball. But if you read the newspapers every day, you read what the columnists who get paid to cover the team, both there and on the road, who are in the hotels, who are talking to the pitching coaches, who are talking to the manager, who are talking to players, you're going to learn a lot more than you ever will anywhere else. You can get all that stuff at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports in the chat, or you can also find it at Maximum Sports Channels, maxsportschannels.com. They have a lot of aggregate stuff where you can get. I think RotoWire is one of those companies that he works with. So there's lots of free information out there. You just have to go out there and look for it.
Right. And don't hold on to Zach Davies. That's probably the only one that I'll be like cool with you dropping right now. Couple more, but.
Well, I'm cool with whatever they do because I don't really, you know, it is what it is. You know, I can't really stop them and I'm probably not interested to stop them. But I just get curious. This ad drop list, it's incredibly fascinating to me. You know Jarrell Cotton?
Yes.
That's another one. He had a tough opening night.
I dropped him, so I can't talk.
Okay. Well, then a lot of people did. You know, he was dropped in overall 8%, 9% over at ESPN. Now, he's pitching again today. And I would have probably waited because I think that Jarrell Cotton is another one that they're very high on. I know he got spanked pretty good by the Angels at home, but he's got another chance. He's only 25. You know,
yeah.
He's got a pretty good He's got good numbers wherever he's been.
Do you know why I dropped him? I dropped him for one specific reason, and that is that he has two starts this week, and I'm not putting him in. I'm just not.
All right.
I'm stuck with the guy on my roster for a whole week, and he's got two starts, and he gets crushed both of those starts the same way he did in his first outing by the Angels, no less. I had to do it because the guy doesn't have any kind of major league experience. I mean, the experience that he does have, last year he pitched 29 innings. That was great. He had a 2.15 ERA, but come on. I was hesitant to draft him in the first place, but there were several drafts that I was in where he came along and it was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to pay a lot of money for this guy, or I'm going to get him in like the late rounds of a snake draft. I'm going to just take a flyer on him, but I'm not willing to hold on and wait for him, especially in a two-start week. I'm just not.
Okay, because you know what? His second start is against Houston at home, and Houston strikes out quite a bit. I think I might have hung on to him for the rest of the week, maybe.
Who's his other start against?
Well, it's today against Kansas City, so he might have a chance. He could go 2-0 this week.
That's funny. Kansas City and Houston played each other the first.
Yeah.
First series.
See, I'm not saying that was a bad idea on your part. I'd say for me, I would have probably hung in there a little longer. Of course, I may not have drafted him in the first place, but then again, that's just me, I suppose. I'm not a big fan of rookies, but because a rookie's a rookie. I heard that somewhere once, and I think it's right, and I think he's right for saying it. I don't value them that much. I will pick them up, like, in DFS. I do remember this. When Matt Harvey came up, I picked him up. When Noah Syndergaard came up, I picked him up. And when Steven Matz came up, I picked him up, only because I had seen them enough in the spring to know that these guys were the real deal, and I being a Mets fan. But outside of that, I don't usually do that. You know, another guy who was dropped this week by a lot of people was Byron Buxton.
Let me make a comment real quick on Steven Matz. So he's got.
Didn't we torch him last week?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not going to torch him. I'm just going to say one thing. Lenny was talking on the podcast this morning about Steven Matz and his injury, and there's some interesting little side notes going on. There's some interesting politics going on in the Steven Matz deal. So later on today, check out Baseball Chatter over at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports, or you can probably find it on my Facebook page later after I'm done with it. It'll take me probably an hour or so to get it done. But there's some rumors going around that he went out and got a second opinion on his foot. And, you know, this guy is an injury-prone guy to begin with. And they're saying that he's faking it. Somebody said that he's faking it. Some kind of dramatic stuff going on. I don't want to say too much because I don't know enough details about it. But I will definitely be putting it all on paper once I get the whole story, and it'll be in Baseball Chatter later this afternoon, so that'll give you something to look for. But yeah, there's some kind of rumors going around that he's faking it, or he's not really hurt, or somebody's faking it, and that's just, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like when Joey Votto was out for a period of time, they were like, he just doesn't care to come back, you know, and that's just BS. I mean, we're talking about Joey Votto here, so anyway, Matz is...
Oh, you know what? They have this thing, they say... Here it is right here on CBS Sports. It's Mets reportedly frustrated by Steven Matz's flexor strain injury diagnosis.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Mets aren't really a reliable medical advisor.
No, they sure aren't.
I mean, shoot.
Well, anyway, so you can look forward to that over on the Chatter, and that'll be good. But Byron Buxton, this is another one. Here's a guy. There's a lot of upside there. There's a lot of things to like.
Yeah.
Right now, he started out. He's had a rough time, though.
Oh, man.
He's like 0 for the season. Okay, now he's not. Okay, he's got 1-2 hits. I'm sorry. I thought he was 0 for the season.
No, he had one extra base hit.
Right. And his batting average is like way below the Mendoza line. There's not much to like right now. But he's on a team in an organization that's probably going to give him a lot of opportunities. Now he's batting 7th in the lineup. That's not a bad spot, I guess, for him to be in. Obviously, they like him a lot. I don't know that I would have dropped him, though. I mean, I...
You can't. So first of all, with Byron Buxton, you didn't ever expect him to have any kind of decent on-base percentage or average. I mean, the guy isn't even going to get 300 as far as on-base percentage goes. So, you know, that's pretty bad. And his batting average has never been good. So I don't know why anybody would expect it to be good now. However, he does have a good ceiling. His he's got 20 potential at least, you know, that's not a decent day, not even a good day. I mean, the highest ceiling would be like 25-30. But so they dropped him to 7th in the batting order. Lenny swears by the fact that he shouldn't be batting 3rd or 2nd or wherever they had him. I think they had him in the 3rd spot. That's where his manager really wanted him to be and thinks that that's where he should be. But to be honest with you, I don't get how moving from 3rd to 7th in the batting order justifies anybody saying that the batter is going to hit better in the 7th spot than he did in the 3rd spot. It makes no sense to me, and as far as I'm concerned, these guys should be hitting at no matter what spot in the lineup they're at. They get paid plenty of money, hit wherever they tell you to hit, and do it well, and like it.
Well, there you go. That's the way to look, one way to look at it anyway.
But I'm not going to drop him. I'm definitely not going to drop him because here's a guy that's going to struggle throughout the season. You know, last year I had Jasmani Tomas and Byron Buxton. I also had Curtis Granderson, who all three of these guys will go through slumps where they won't hit for weeks on end, and all of a sudden Jasmani Tomas comes around and hits 2 home runs in a game, and of course he's going to be sitting on my bench because I'm not having it, you know? So these guys end up with 27 home runs at the end of the season, but the whole season they're nothing but a frustration, especially in head-to-head leagues where you have to have consistency because you might win on the weeks that he hits 2 home runs in a game, but what about all the weeks where he's just sitting there doing nothing? You know, that's just so frustrating.
Well, yes.
Those three players are just famous for doing this kind of stuff. So you kind of had to know that with Byron Buxton going in, and if you drafted him, you got to hold on to him. Put him on your bench for a minute, you know? His ceiling is too high to throw away right now.
Well, it is, you know, and he's going to have those weeks. You know, that's why another guy that I probably would have left alone, and I'm sure that I did. I can see, you know, he's still 60% owned in ESPN leagues. Not everyone panicked, but a lot of people did. This is something like you said, like Andy said earlier. You have to know what you're getting into before you get into it. There's no excuse for people who drafted Byron Buxton not to know that he was going to have his ups and downs this season. If you didn't know that, then you didn't do your homework, and you probably shouldn't win your league anyway. You should have dropped him, because I'm going to take him if you did it in my league. Well, maybe I won't, because he does give me agita, because he's that way. This is who he is. But damn, I'm telling you, this is why I like to play Daily Fantasy, Andy, because he's the guy who, when he gets hot, he's got 2 bomb capabilities per game.
Here's a guy. Here's one I see on the list. Jed Jerko.
Oh, Lord in heavens, Jed Jerko.
Okay.
Jed Jerko cost me a lot of money last year, I think, because I would not play him because I just don't like him. You know, I watched him strike out so much when he was with the Padres that he just kind of developed this thing, and he's having his issues already this year, I see.
Here's the thing, though. This is one important factor of when you decide to draw players. You need to look at what their job is, okay? And so with Jed Jerko, he may not have an everyday job at second base, third base, first base, shortstop, whatever. But he plays all of those positions. And it's been noted several times and pretty clear that he's going to be like the super utility guy. You never really expected a ton from him as far as strikeouts are concerned, but you do expect some power. And here's the most important point. Johnny Peralta is playing third base, and Johnny Peralta is batting 4th in the lineup. Now, Johnny Peralta has had a crappy start to the season, just like Jerko, but maybe even a little worse. So the thing about Johnny Peralta is that how long is his leash going to be, right? So it's probably not going to be very long. Now, yes, he had a couple bad, crappy games, Jed Jerko, but he did come through. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but he got a couple RBIs or something. He hit some runners in. They're not going to bench him. They're going to play him. The fact that he qualifies at 2nd, 3rd, I think he even qualifies at shortstop.
Yes, he does.
And even in Yahoo, he's going to qualify at 1st. That's every single infield position, and that is valuable in itself. So
right.
Until he falls flat on his face, you can't drop the guy because he's worth 30 home runs.
He is. But you know what, though? the one thing that Jed Jerko is better for someone playing in a league where they can make daily changes.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to weekly lineups, because you never know where he's going to be. He's going to be somewhere. If you read the papers down in St. Louis, they like him a lot. His job is to hit home runs and to play positions.
Right.
He's always going to play against lefties, always. And he'll probably play against most righties. He's a big part of what they do, but they also expect him to strike out. And they expect him to have nights where he doesn't hit.
Yeah.
But when the nights that he does, he's going to blast. And you set it rest. He's a 30 home run guy. And if you drafted him going in knowing that, and you're in a weekly league, well, then you know what? You're out of luck.
You got to play him then. You just got to put him in there until they
and
say
hope.
That he's, you know, because he's Chris Carter, you know, on steroids. He's Chris Carter with a bunch of position eligibility. And so that's what you got when you drafted him, and you knew it going in, and you can't drop him. He's worth 30 bombs.
He's worth 30 bombs, exactly. But, again, he's better for you if you play in a league where you are allowed to have daily substitutions.
Uh-huh.
If you're not allowed daily substitutions, you might want to look elsewhere. But he is multi-eligible or multi-position eligibility. That to me is always a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy that. But Buxton, back to Buxton, you know what? If you drafted him, stick with him. If you didn't draft him, yeah, just another couple weeks. It's a long season, for goodness sakes. I tell you, don't panic so much. You know who? This is really funny. This happened last year, by the way. Sandy Leone from the Boston Red Sox,
yeah.
Your favorite team.
Yeah.
Last season, people really didn't like him much, and he came up halfway through, I believe. And they didn't think he was going to be all that. They thought other guys were going to get their opportunities. But Sandy Leone is a switch hitter. He's probably going to play 3 out of every 4 days, right? 2 out of every 3, 3 out of every 4. And he gets hits. He's batting, what, 450, 438 or something like that. He's got a bomb. He's got 5 RBIs. He's scored 3 runs. He's a catcher.
Yeah, but he's a catcher. And when you pick him up, that's fine. If you are aware of the fact that he's probably going to lose time to Swihart or the other one that they have over there. They have a couple backup catchers, but yeah, he's doing well right now. I did look at Byron Buxton's splits while you were talking about Sandy Leone.
Mm-hmm.
He hit 9 of his 10 home runs in the second half of the season last year. And
right.
Whether that says anything, you know, we can't for sure know, but they were all in September. And it wasn't – I remember this now because this just popped in my head. When this all happened, actually going into the season, Craig Mish was talking about on his show about Byron Buxton. He was talking about the fact that he got all of – you know, 9 out of 10 of his home runs were in September and October. And this wasn't up against some rookie call-up, you know. This was against guys like Verlander and some other really strong starting pitchers that you know, we actually looked into see who he was hitting these home runs off of and whether or not we should even feel like they're real. And, yeah, they're real. So it's unfortunate that he's starting out so slow, but you got to just pray that he gets it together because he does have the talent and the power is there. So let's just hope on Byron Buxton. Hopefully I gave somebody some hope there.
Well, yeah, and here's some more hope for you. Let's not forget he only had 45 at-bats in April last season. 4 in May, he was hurt, I believe, where they sent him down. I don't remember
which
time that
was. They sent him down. They sent him down twice last year. And the second time they sent him down, that's when he came up and he had it figured out.
Because they sent him down in May. They sent him again down in August. In September, he came back and he was a house on fire. He had 7 bombs, 18 RBIs. He walked 8 times. And how many strikeouts? Oh, he had 35 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's always going to strike out, though, 30% of the time. He's
always
going to do it.
But see, here's the thing. He also had the most at-bats in 1 month in his entire career.
Maybe he's tired.
So, well, or whatever. But the thing is that these guys aren't used. Always remember something. When these guys get called up to the majors, these guys aren't used to not playing every day. They're not used. They get into rhythms. It's like with any other sport. Rhythm matters. Getting into a good groove matters. And when you're playing like once every 4 days and you're not used to it, it takes time. That's why I really hesitate to play rookies or even second-year players. A lot of them I kind of let go, too, because their sample size is small. They're still adjusting to their lives. And, you know, it's all part of it. It's not everyone's a Mike Trout. And you just have to remember that, I guess. But who else is here that I wanted to ask? Oh, you know who I wanted to ask about? I wanted to talk about is Yuli Gurriel from the Houston Astros. Now, here's another guy who has been dropped quite a bit, 13% in ESPN leagues over the last week. He started out really slow. He's got a batting average of 0.95. And he's another one I would think that is a guy who's used to playing a lot. He's got big power potential. He's somebody they like an awful lot in Houston. And I'm wondering if you don't hold him because he's playing every day, don't you keep him?
No, I mean, no, you don't have to keep him because he is playing every day because that's his job right now. But Marwin Gonzalez can play every day at first base. So
yeah, but Marwin Gonzalez, I mean, you want to try to find somebody who can replace this guy if you're going to drop him. Marwin Gonzalez, is he the guy you want to drop? Yeah, okay, he's multi-position eligibility, and I like that. But do you really go with a guy like Marwin Gonzalez in a season-long league?
Well, if you have Gurriel, you might. I mean, literally, look at his average so far. And this is not this. I mean, he had 137 plate appearances at the major league level. That's his career plate appearances. Mm-hmm. He only hit 3 home runs, so his ceiling isn't that high. Once again, I mean, he doesn't steal bases, really. I just don't think that his job is secure. He's not a guy that has any kind of reason to hang on to him, you know? I mean, until he gets a little bit more acclimated at the major league level, I just don't see him, you know, being somebody that might actually be worth holding on to. So, again, Mark Reynolds is a great pickup for a first baseman.
Something tells me you like Mark Reynolds.
Right now, I love Mark Reynolds. I mean, how could you not, right? I mean, the guy's hit 3 home runs already. He's batting .346, and we've seen this year in and year out with Mark Reynolds that when he's healthy and he's playing, he usually hits bombs.
Right.
And
he's going to have
Colorado.
Opportunities in Colorado. Yeah, I mean, he's got 7 straight games next week. Then Thursday through next Tuesday, he's playing a lot at home.
I just don't know how you don't love this guy.
I kind of like him. I wouldn't go love, but I like, and it's a good one. But I like Yuli Gurriel, too. He's the kid from Cuba, and he's just affected last year, and they're paying him a bunch of money. I think they're going to like him, and I think that they do like him. He's 32 years old, though, too, so he's not like he's a kid. He's new to the major league scene, but he's not new to international baseball. If you follow it a little bit, you know this guy can hit the ball a little bit.
So if you can move him to your corner infield spot, I got a pickup for you, which is Yandervis Solarte in San Diego.
Okay.
So, you know, I noticed him several times in drafts where it's getting to be a little bit, you know, not a lot of pickings left, and you're sorting your queue by RBIs, and I noticed, mm-hmm. you know, this guy's got RBI potential for 80 RBIs, you know, he's got potential to get 70, 80 RBIs when the rest of the people that were available weren't getting any kind of, you know, RBIs close to that. So,
right.
I mean, so far this year, he's hit 2 home runs. Now, this guy's been in the major leagues for, this is his 4th year in the majors, and he's had full-time at-bats. He's a utility guy, so unless you're in Yahoo, then he doesn't qualify at first base, but he will probably qualify at second and third. And I absolutely think that he's worth picking up. He plays second base right now, and he's the backup for third base, the backup for first base, and just too bad that he can't replace Gurriel, you know, because he's actually kind of under the radar, I think. I'm not really sure how much he's owned in ESPN, but definitely under the radar and definitely worth 80 RBIs.
Okay, Solarte is available, or he's currently owned in 59% of ESPN leagues. Now, I've got a name for you, too, if you're going to drop Gurriel. What about Brandon Drury from the Arizona Diamondbacks? Now, he's having a very good start to the season. He hasn't hit any bombs yet, but he's batting almost .500, and he's outfield eligible as well as third base eligible. I think that he might not be a bad guy. He's owned right now in 60.9% of the league, so he might be available.
in Tout Wars, you only have to play a position 15 games now. And so he's also eligible at second base in Tout Wars. And
but most of the people don't play Tout Wars. Well, you guys are the elite.
Right, but so
what about the rest of us scrubs?
Well, typically, I think if you don't change the settings, it's going to give you 20 games minimum played at the position. But there are,
okay.
I mean, if you play at Yahoo or other leagues, I'm not really sure. I think I've had 15 games played before. But regardless, he's going to qualify at second base in some leagues. But mostly, he's going to be corner outfield, third base, and outfield. And I just don't think that he's owned. How much is it telling you that he's owned? Because he was owned in every single draft that I was in.
60% he's available. He's owned in 60.9%. Okay, so maybe he's too highly.
Well, he's definitely a pickup. I mean, don't hesitate to grab him and don't hesitate to drop some dude like Gurriel or Bird. Bird.
I'll tell you. Yeah, even Bird. Give Bird the bird.
Bird can Bird.
Yes, I tell you who I like Bird. A lot. I tell you who I really like. And not a lot of people agree with me on ESPN, but I like Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. He's available in over 90% of fantasy leagues overall, and he's only owned in 8.6% of ESPN leagues. Joey Gallo's hit a couple bombs this season. He's playing every single day. His batting average will kill you.
What happens when Beltre comes back?
Well, he's not coming back for another, 2 weeks?
No, he's getting ready. I think that he's getting ready to come back. Let me check it out, though, for sure. The problem with poor Joey Gallo is that he hasn't had a place. He's been blocked, right, for a couple years now. And, I mean, the best thing that Texas could do for both him and the team is showcase him and get a trade going for somebody that needs him, because he is just – I mean, it's unfortunate. You can't have this guy on the major league roster that's not going to get any play time. And
I would trade Beltre and keep this kid.
What?
Of course I would. I'm thinking about my future now.
He's still batting 200. He has stolen a base, though.
Right.
He's really working hard to make everybody notice him right now. I mean, he's really...
And I think he's doing a pretty good job of it, too, because I noticed him, and I don't usually notice guys like him.
So he's... Oh, yeah. Yesterday was the first day that Beltre was eligible to come off the DL, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. And that's,
well, they don't need him right now.
Right.
You know, that's the whole thing. They can take their time. But I like Joey Gallo, and he might be a good stash because, like Andrew said, they may trade somebody over there, and he could be the guy they trade.
Well,
you just never know.
They almost have to trade him if they can't play him.
He's more highly owned than Marwin Gonzalez is.
That's fine, but I don't know. I wouldn't be dropping people to go own him because you don't even know where he's going to end up. And like, they have no problem holding him back when it might be different this year. I mean, this guy, he is ready for the major leagues, and that you can't be more ready than this guy. And to hold him down, I mean, there's rules against this. There's rules for that are going to kick in soon about this guy and the fact that, you know, he's been held down for so long that he's being blocked, and I can't remember the rule. Lenny would be able to tell. But there is a law that...
Maybe I could tell you. How do you know I can't tell you? I always say Lenny can tell you. I'm your co-host. What do you think? Maybe I know.
Well, maybe you should spit it out then.
I don't know.
That's why I assume that you don't know.
Why? Because I really don't. But here's the thing. I like Joey Gallo. If I'm in a dynasty league, I'd go for Joey Gallo over that in a hurry.
I mean, I would take him over Jurickson and Profar any damn day of the week because Jurickson and Profar is a big failure, and he's never going to be any good.
They're never going to be any good. You know what, though? Nick Castellanos, I wonder what he is. Nick Castellanos is going to be good. If I were playing Daily Fantasy today, I would play him against Chris Sale in Detroit and watch Chris Sale blow up like a balloon. I think something's going to happen there. I think Justin Verlander's going to have a big day. Like we just had. We just had a big day. Great stuff again. Once again, you knocked it out of the park.
Damn you.
Yeah, we are.
Why are we always done too soon? I always worry that we're not going to have anything to talk about.
Why? I give you a nice list every week.
No, you don't.
What do you mean I don't?
You do give a list, but it only had one thing on it, so.
Yeah, but this is a long list. It was the most added and dropped.
Whatever, dude. I don't even care. You do send the list. He definitely does the most of the work in this relationship.
We do our best, yes. Anyway, it's fun, and we'll be back next Monday. The studio is open Monday, so we'll be here.
Okay, dude. Have a good week.
Hey, have a happy Easter.
Okay, you too, everybody.
Yeah, you folks who celebrate Easter,
and,
happy Easter.
Well, we celebrate Passover and Easter in this family, so.
Absolutely, and have a great Seder.
whatever it is, we celebrate it.
There you go.
The more the better.
For Andy, for Andrea Lamont, I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to Nothing But Fantasy. Bye, bye, no, 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 no.